Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts, add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really amazing thing that I get to do right now is I get to introduce you to not one, but two guests today. They make up a full-service design firm that specializes in residential interior design, personal events, and styling. Their work with clients encompasses establishing an aesthetic direction, procuring materials, and then they manage the logistics necessary in order to execute beautiful and functional experiences and environments. Since the company's inception in 2011, they have established relationships with their interior clients to expand their services, creating a multidisciplinary design firm. They've since worked on a variety of interior, event, and styling projects in Los Angeles, in addition to international locations, which have been featured on various online publications, including Vogue, Elle Decor, Domain Home, and print publications, including Flutter and Violet Magazine. The partners first met while working at the esteemed design firm Digs by Katie. They immediately understood they both shared a similar design sensibility and philosophy. They view design as pervasive and essential. They believe that interiors, events, culinary arts, fashion, and all creative disciplines can benefit from one another. They strive to create a design firm that moves beyond the traditional parameters, entwining all the creative disciplines into a comprehensive hub of creative expression. It turns out they're quite busy making the world more beautiful. Jen Pablo and Olivia Kornberg, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to be here.
It's great to have both of you with us today. So I'm going to ask you to take us back to the very beginning. And Olivia, why don't you jump in and field this one first? Talk to us about you falling in love with the world of design for the very first time.
Sure. So I actually grew up in a multicultural family. My mother is French. So I had the good fortune of being able to do a lot of international travel at a young age. So you know, we traveled to France frequently to visit my family, and then we would also travel, you know, to various other countries. So I had that exposure to architecture and the decorative arts, and I think that instilled a curiosity within myself, so that moving forward, I really understood, you know, how architecture and the decorative arts could impact how I felt in a particular space. And then, you know, specifically within my family, I just had that sort of, I loved to reorient furniture in my room. I drove everybody crazy, and just was really interested in how to take what was in a room and just shift a few things and be able to produce an entirely new feel, and have people interact with the things in the room differently.
At what point then did you realize, hey, this might be a profession?
I was studying abroad in Paris, and I was in my second to last semester at university. So I was starting to think about what I wanted to do. And I always knew I wanted to work in a creative field. And just by luck, I was able to be paired up with an internship opportunity with Digs by Katie, the designer Katie Lead, who at the time was based in Santa Monica. Sure. So, and that's coincidentally where I met Jen, who had been working there for quite some time.
Isn't it lovely how the universe orchestrates things?
Yes.
Well, so Jen, why don't you jump in then and pick up your story and bring us up to the same point?
Well, mine is, you know, it's an odd story in the sense that I've always been a weird kid that's been fascinated with space generally and architecture and the world around me. I view things almost as if it's like magnified. Everything is magnified. Every little detail of everything is magnified. And it wasn't until I was probably in high school that I realized, like, oh, I love interiors. My parents, we were required to sell these magazine subscriptions. You know how in high school you sell chocolates or all of that. And, you know, my parents would help. They would sell it to their coworkers and whatnot. But they also purchased, you know, magazines for the home as well. And my mom would purchase, you know, fashion, lifestyle, and, you know, Architectural Digest. And I remember when the first issue came, I think it was probably like, gosh, I just remember the cover. It was like Ralph Lauren was on the cover with his wife. It must have been like early 2000. And there was a title that was like Ralph Lauren and Unique Hotels. And I was intrigued just by the cover itself and the color of it, and flipped through it. And as soon as I flipped through it, they had showcased different hotels around the world. And I think that's what sort of piqued my interest. And of course, you go down the rabbit hole with all these magazines every single month. I would look through it and be inspired. And then I think naturally I just was a creative person and, you know, artistic and musical and all of that. So it sort of worked. And we had to take these career tests in high school. And for some reason, it always landed on interior architecture or for the home. Oh, I've always tested for that. I remember getting it was one of those like psychic readings that was always orienting and pointing me towards the home. And I found it so odd, but it spoke to me, truly. And, you know, I'm one of those weird kids where I've just loved doing this for all this time.
And then the two of you met.
Yes. And then we met I was probably at Digs by Katie for almost 3 years, 2.5 years. And then Olivia came on board as an intern. She was my best intern. when I left the company after, 4.5 years, and I had recommended Olivia to take my place. So, you know, we work very well together, and we've always had, you know, we've worked on numerous projects, but we have always had a thing, you know, that just, you can't really describe it. It's we work well creatively. We dialogue things in a weird way. It's just, it's a communication between the two of us, in details.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So it's a big step moving from a connection like that to actually launching a business together. So talk to us a little bit about what that process was like for you. Olivia?
Sure. So Jen and I, after moving on from Digs by Katie, Jen worked in the hospitality world. I stayed in residential interior design. And then we would meet ever so often to just talk about what was going on and just keep tabs on one another. And it was Jen who actually had very casually mentioned that she was sort of thinking of branching off and starting her own design firm. And in speaking, we realized that we could band together and do something. And I'd like to say that we put a lot of thought in it, but the truth is that it was actually a little bit spontaneous. We just decided, you know, let's try this. Let's give it our all. And then, you know, the worst case scenario is that it doesn't work, but, you know, we're at that place where it makes sense to try to come together and collaborate and put our own creative perspectives out there. So we just decided to file the paperwork and go from there.
Wow. Jen, pick up the story there. You filed the paperwork.
We filed the paperwork. and, you know, again, being that weird kid, I knew that I wanted to start a business. And again, when we would just have, you know, glasses of wine or nights where we'd go to dinner, it would always come up. And, you know, when we filed it, it was so surreal. It was just like, okay, we're doing this. I said that I would start it. I'm revealing my age. said I would start it by 25. I didn't start it till 27. So it was just kind of like, I knew the direction already, and filing the paperwork made it legitimate. It made it absolutely possible. And from that point, literally within a week of us doing that, we had some inquiries. You know, we had people, we had told people like, yeah, we're going off on our own. We're doing this thing. You know, we're sort of, taking on our own interiors, our own clients. If you need help, or if you need a designer, or if you need just styling assistance, consulting, let us know. So because we had been in the industry for a while, we did have, you know, that Rolodex of clients that, you know, occasionally would just need a small thing completed in their home. And so we would take care of that for them. We did connect with Katie Diggs from Diggs by Katie. Mm-hmm. She had just relocated to New York, but did need some help finalizing some of her projects in LA. So that sort of helped us as well in regards to the intro to Twofold, and really handling and taking on the responsibility of the design ourselves.
Now you have approached the business in a slightly different way, and I mean that in the scope of services that you provide. Talk to us about where that vision comes from, and then what the response has been like. Jen, pick up the story there.
So we currently run an interiors and event company. That's how we sort of started it. The reason why we did that is because with interior design, it's a very traditional model. And, you know, it does take a lot of time in building the relationships with clients of, you know, high-end caliber, you know, someone who truly values design and truly appreciates the beauty of an interior. So, you know, it takes a minute for you to gather even the community of people. So we decided we need something that would supplement that while we take the time to really establish ourselves on the interior design side. And so we decided perhaps we would do something along the lines of lifestyle. You know, our clients know us really well. They inquire with us all the time. We're kind of tastemakers in that sense. And we actually had a client, we were working with her on her interiors. She was one of our first clients. She was doing a full renovation of her master bedroom and master closet. We were bidding, you know, a custom build out, all the finishes, everything. And she had to put the project on hold because she got engaged. And of course, you know, we were just like, oh, we were bummed because it was our first client. And we were just, you know, we didn't know what to do. We were just so shocked by it. And so I had heard through, you know, mutual friends that she was getting married in France. And I kind of, a light bulb sort of went off, and I just was like, oh my God, like there's something here. Olivia speaks French. She speaks fluently. She lived there. Perhaps there's an opportunity that we can sort of push this lifestyle aspect and see if she needs mm-hmm. help with coordinating and maybe even design, and let's pitch it to her. Let's see what she says. And so that's kind of how we entered the world of events. We ended up working with her and collaborating with her on the design of her destination wedding. It was so much fun. Every wedding is like that, right? That's how we sort of entered the world of events. So again, it's the same sort of model business, like the way that you work in interiors is the same, I guess, same clientele, same way of coordinating project management and the design aesthetic, you know, so it sort of transitioned very easily.
No, it seems like it makes perfect sense, actually, in many, many ways. Olivia, you were the one that was translating. What was that experience like?
It was really exciting. It was really scary and challenging as well. I didn't grow up going to weddings. I think this was the second or third wedding I had even attended, and I was in charge of planning it all. In a foreign country. So it was definitely a challenging experience, but you know, we're just putting the same principles that we look to with interiors, you know, being very, very organized and managing all the logistics and vendors, and then also being mindful of the space, the flow, color palette, you know, just sort of drew on all of those skill sets that I already had established. And it ended up being something that I really, really, truly enjoyed. I didn't quite know how I would respond to the role of you know, coordinator for a wedding. It wasn't something I ever foresaw doing, but it was something I really, really actually enjoyed and found a lot of parallels with interior design. So since then, we've done quite a few other weddings, and we do small personal events. We've done another destination event for a birthday in the Yucatan. So while our business currently is a bit more interiors focused, we still absolutely handle these curated events for some of our clients.
Do you find that your event clients come from your interior base of clients, or vice versa? Do they feed on each other? How does that work?
They do definitely feed on each other. So we've just found that, especially with interior design, I mean, I guess also with events, but you're really creating this really intimate relationship with your clients. You're in their home, you're in their personal space, you meet their families, you understand their sensibilities. And so it's pretty natural to think, you know, if you're going to have an event and you want to be able to trust somebody who's already familiar with your home, that, you know, who better than your interior designers who have, sure, you know, specified a lot of things in that home to make an event out of it. And then likewise with events, if somebody can kind of see how we're able to transform a space, then they can put more trust into us when it comes time for their home.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes great sense. So you're clearly busy. Your ladies are doing all sorts of fun and exciting things. When you look at the work that you're doing right now, what is it about what you get to do at this point in your life that you love the most? Olivia, why don't you go first?
What makes me feel the most fulfilled in what we're doing is just fostering these relationships and being able to make our clients happy. I mean, I think that I love the process, the design development and all of that, but it's really at the time of the final reveal when you get to see how someone responds to all this hard work and planning that's gone into it, that, you know, it just, that feeling is really wonderful. And when we get the positive feedback from our clients about how they are so, so proud of their homes or that it finally feels like a home, we work really hard to try to take ourselves out of it and put the focus on the client and the needs of the client and their design sensibility. And we function as sort of the guiding hand there. So when we're told that the home feels truly like theirs, it's the best compliment. It means that we're good listeners and we're able to understand somebody and produce something that feels unique to their personality.
Nice. Jen, how about you?
I would agree. I think what makes me also the most happy at the moment is our current roster of clients. Our current roster of clients are awesome. You know, when you first start out, it's always a thing. You know, you're working, especially in high end residential. I mean, you work towards that, but it's always a thing where you have to have that balance and sometimes that compromise because you're dealing with, you know, clients' budgets. But how are you creatively fulfilled if you can't design what you want to design? You know, there were limitations in the beginning when we first started, and now currently I feel like we've reached kind of a sweet spot where we no longer have to really compromise the design. We've in the 5 years that we've had this business, you know, we've been able to sort of build on the experience we've had and sort of work towards compromising with our clients and figuring out the best way and the best solutions and value engineering and doing all that to make truly our brand, you know, our design. And I think that's where I'm at personally. I just feel like we're moving towards exactly where we need to be.
It's a good place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's fun.
As it should be. For a moment, ladies, I want you to think about our listeners at home, many of which are eager to hear ideas, tips, thoughts that they can apply in their own homes. Speak for a few moments to that idea. Give it a tip or an idea that our listeners could apply in their own home that's going to make that experience of living a little bit more beautiful. Jen, jump in first.
As far as a tip design-wise for your home, so my thing is sort of like know yourself, first of all. Know what you like, know what you want. I think when approaching design, just don't overthink it and sort of hone in on what your general style is, and listen to yourself and be patient with yourself while going about a project. I mean, when you design a home, it can be quite overwhelming, you know, and there's so many different styles and so many different options. How do you really pare it down to a space that you'll love? So I think, you know, to all the listeners, I mean, I think just be true to yourself and really understand the space, understand the scale of your space. So yeah, I guess as simple as that, don't overdo it. Yeah.
Wise advice is usually the simplest. So no arguments there. Olivia, thoughts on that?
I agree. I agree with all of that. I'd say the number one thing that I would suggest is to just be patient with the process and patient with yourself. You know, when Jen and I are working with clients, we always let people know, you know, you can have, you know, fast and cheap, or you can have, you know, good quality that takes a long time. Like, there's always going to be a give and a take. So if you can approach your home like you would any other project and be organized and have the bigger picture in mind, but then also know that it's okay to not do it all in one swoop. Most homes that have that sort of curated old world charm to them have been, the items have been procured over a long period of time. And if you're going to make any investment in your home, you should make sure that the pieces are going to be of good quality, that you're going to enjoy the style of them for a long time. And if that means that, you know, you're looking for that perfect chair for a couple of months versus just settling for one that's ready right now, that's the way that I would go about it. I want to make sure that everything goes in my home I love and I'm going to continue to love, or I could repurpose it down the line, but the bones are there.
Right. Yeah. Do it right once, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Good advice. So have you applied that advice to the place that each of you call home? Sometimes the cobbler's children don't have shoes. Oh, I'm always curious.
I say that all the time.
Do you? Jen, talk to us then a little bit about the place you call home. Do you have a favorite space in your own home? Tell us a little bit about it.
I do. I do have a favorite space. I would say it's probably my living room and dining room. It's sort of an open space. They're connected. And the reason why I love this area is because, you know, my wife and I often host numerous guests. We have a lot of parties, gatherings, and you know, these rooms, I don't know what it is, but, you know, they're rooms where, you know, songs are written, you know, toasts are made, sort of where books are read, music is heard, records are played, that it's a very special, like, place. And also business is being done because we work in that, you know, in our homes. And, you know, what makes it, you know, special is, you know, it's beyond design in that sense, because there's sort of a life that I don't know if it's us, I don't know if it's just the walls, I have no idea, but there's an energy to these rooms that really make it so special to me.
Nice. Olivia, how about you?
My favorite room right now, it would be my dining room. It's just a nice space with beautiful lights, and we have a table that I love, although it's problematic, but it's a unsealed limestone table, which I've made some mistakes already, but I even like those. They have memories attached to them now, so it doesn't even bother me. But I love to cook, and it's the place where I get to unwind and sit down, share a meal with my friends and my family. And it just is a place that it just feels homey and a place where I can bring people together. So I do enjoy the aesthetics of that room, but I agree with Jen that it's more so that's a room that I utilize a lot, especially with entertaining. And I think that's what where the best memories are made in a home.
Wonderful. We love those good memories, don't we? What would our listeners be most surprised to find in your home, Olivia?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are piles and piles and piles of samples, which I am meaning to organize, but they are a part of the decor at the moment. And I also, when I moved into the home that I am, I inherited two dogs. So they're master shedders. So that's sort of meaning that I'm having to rework a few of the things that I thought I would do in this home. My dreams of a white sofa are, but we're trying to sort that. So there's a lot of unfinished spaces, but I'm also taking my own advice, where I want to be patient with it. I haven't lived in this home for that long, so I'm still trying to familiarize myself with how I want each space to function and take my time, and not be too hard on myself that it's not at its perfect state at the moment.
Good approach. Very good approach. How about you, Jen?
I think, my house is very eclectic. So I think the most surprising thing, aside from all the samples and interior inventory that we carry, it's probably musical instruments. There are quite a few guitars that lay around the house. There's keyboard, there's a rain stick, maracas, there's just sound makers all over the house. And, perhaps it's because, my wife and I are both musical. Friends of ours, they come over, even people that don't even know how to play the instruments, they tinker around with it. And speaking of, the life of the house, I think that's probably the most special thing.
Nice. A very nice touch, actually. What's the very best decorating advice you ladies have ever come across? Jen?
I don't really have decorating it. I've never received really decorating advice. I did just sort of read, Kelly Wurstler had sort of had a tweet on her tweet a couple days ago, and she said, step outside of what everyone else is doing and create something that is truly your own. Mm-hmm. And I find that, oftentimes we, of course, are inspired by things,
yeah.
It's never really truly an original idea, but we do make it our own in that special way by thinking of those tiny details, those little special personal details that are added to, our homes and styling our bookcases and whatnot. So that would be, I guess, the best advice.
That's some good advice, I think. Yeah. Olivia, what about you?
I recall when I worked at Digs by Katie, that sort of a mantra around the office was always, it's in the details, it's in the details. And, that is observing the way that Katie designed had a really big impact on me, because everything was, okay, there's this great fabric, but how do we improve it? Maybe that's adding a trim or a piping detail or, a new type of stitching. It was always a way to take materials and elevate them by just adding the smallest details. And I think that is really what can turn a room from feeling, maybe a bit generic to something that feels really, really thoughtful and special.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Quickly, let's do a hypothetical. We pray it never happens, but if there were a fire at the house, ladies, family, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. What's the one object in your home that you would risk the flames to save? Jen?
I honestly, everything in my home can be replaced. I don't have family heirlooms. I don't have anything too valuable. But if I had to pick one thing, I think it would be my Polaroid pictures. Mm. I'm a photographer as well, and I carry, whenever people come over, there's a Polaroid camera that I use and take photos and capture the moment in that moment, and I would take that probably because it's almost like it's been years and years of that. I have a big bowl that's underneath my coffee table that I can just grab. It shows that side of my life, the memories of that, the way that I see. Most of the photos are of other people. I'm not even in most of them. And it's the way that the people that I love and the way that I view them. And that, I think, is really special.
Nice. Nice. Olivia, how about you?
Mine's similar. I mean, I got a great birthday gift this year from my parents. They transferred home videos and photographs onto a USB. So I now have this just tiny little USB with all of my childhood memories on it that are really, it's really special. So I think that's the one thing that I would really truly miss. As far as I have some special, you know, handed down jewelry from my great great aunt, but I never take it off. So that would just be with me. But I think it's the photographs and memories like that.
Priceless, the photos and the memories. Absolutely. Ladies, we've come down to the last question. Now, we end every show with the same question. So I'm going to paint a picture for you and then very curious to get your thoughts on this. You ready?
Yes, we are ready.
Imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the Earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home? Jen?
I have to say, I am a master at thrift shopping. So I probably would take that and go to town. More bang for your buck in that sense. I'd probably also forage, you know, and pull some greenery or some florals out in the garden and, you know, bring the outdoors in. You know, it sort of makes for a space. I think that's really important to sort of, and again, thrift store pieces, they have character, you know, and they have a story as well. And I feel like that gives my space more life.
Lovely.
Overall.
How about you, Olivia?
Well, my splurge would be a mattress because I can't sleep is my one true love. I just need it at the end of the day to recoup from all the work that we're doing. So that would be my splurge. And then I am in a relationship with an extremely talented artist. So I think I would go to the paint store and buy some paint and tell him to get creative with some murals on the wall or do something decorative. And then, you know, of course, I'm on the same page with Jen about bringing, you know, I always have flowers in the house, even if it's just, you know, some cut greenery from my garden. But I think bringing in the outdoors, indoors is so important to feel good about the space that you're in. And so I would definitely do that as well.
Sounds like two very well-balanced plans. We like all of that. ladies, thank you so much for your time today. This has been great fun to chat with you.
Yes, thank you. It's been great to speak with you.
Thank you. Jen Pablo and Olivia Kornberg from Twofold LA. Thank you so much for joining us today on Million Dollar Decorating. It's been great getting to chat with you. We want to say thank you to all of our subscribers who've tuned into the show today. None of this means anything without you, so we appreciate you tuning in, sharing news about the show with your friends, and helping us to grow. Bounce over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about today's show. Check out the show notes. We'll post a link to the Twofold LA website, so you can follow all the great things that Olivia and Jen are up to. While you're there, click on a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.